Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday and Thursday afternoon evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could also pick it up on YouTube and Podomatic. It's brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. And this year's camp will be held at the Lakeside, where it was last year, but it'll be held at the Spring Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center in Plainfield, New Hampshire, from July 19th to July 24th. That would be Sunday afternoon to Friday morning. To learn more, please visit our website, campconstitution.net. Well, gentlemen, are you both online?
Amen. Reverend Crabb's on the line.
Hey, Reverend. I got Lloyd. I got Lloyd Marcus there too.
You sure do.
All right, hey, so Lloyd.
We tried it yesterday. We had all kinds of terrible feedback. Anyway, folks, I want to announce my co-host, Reverend Stevie Kraft, my brother from another mother.
That's right.
Lloyd Marcus. Lloyd Marcus is the unhyphenated American. Lloyd, thank you for joining us.
I am very happy to be here, and thank you very much for having me. Look, I have to say what Marvin Gaye would say: "What's going on? What's going on? All this craziness! Oh my goodness, what is going on, guys?"
Well, I'm sitting there thinking, what causes this insanity? And I think maybe 4 months of wearing masks has taken oxygen, oxygen from the brains of most Americans. Well, Lloyd is a very well-known Tea Party activist and a talented singer and musician. And you have been around the United States giving presentations on various topics about patriotism, on Black Americans and Black conservatism. And you wrote an excellent piece that I saw a couple of days ago on the riots. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we can get into these horrible situation we're seeing taking place in our country.
First of all, I have to say that I'm not an African American. I am Lloyd Marcus American. Now, I have stated that on 500 Tea Party rallies around the country. I walk on stage and I say, "Hello, my fellow patriots. I'm not an African American. I am Lloyd Marcus American." And people love it so much that people have come to me in tears thanking me for saying that, because most people believe that hyphenating divides us. Speaking on going on 500 Tea Party rallies, the way that happened was that back in 2008, I wrote this song called the American Tea Party Anthem. I wrote that song basically on a Tuesday. We recorded it by Thursday, and the following week I was on Fox News, and a couple weeks later I was touring the country on a national Tea Party bus tour, and I met those people at those rallies. Those people were not racist. As a matter of fact, 40% of them voted for Barack Obama, but they did not know that he was going to take us down the road to socialism, and that's what the Tea Party movement was all about. But yet, fake news media did everything in their power to brand the Tea Party, saying that the whole Tea Party movement was because they did not want a black man in the White House. The black population is only 13%, so a whole bunch of white folks voted to put Barack Obama in the White House, and they just slandered those people at every turn. CNN went on one of our bus tours with us. and they went to 35 rallies with us. And like everybody at those rallies, they behaved like I was a rock star. I sang my Tea Party Anthem song, and we had several black speakers and authors with us, and they spoke at the rallies. When fake news media, when CNN showed their documentary, they did not show none of our black faces. So you fast forward to now, America is the greatest land of opportunity on this planet. Anything else is a total lie. We just came from 8 years of Barack Obama. The American people gave Obama two terms, and yet when you listen to the media today, they act like that those 8 years never happened, and they act like this is 1950 and blacks are being shot open sight. Now, why is this happening? This is happening because they want to do anything and everything to stop Donald Trump from being elected. And on that note, I will take a breath.
Well, that's fine. That's good. You came to Boston, didn't you? The Boston Tea Party, there was a...
Yes, yes, yes.
Sarah Palin was there, too.
Yes, yes.
And we had a table there, and people say, I didn't see you, Hal. I said, because there was so many people around the table that no one else could see it. It was a great... And there were no riots at that Tea Party rally. There were thousands of people on the Boston Common. No riots, no arrests. I think there was some leftists that came in and made a little noise, but nothing serious. And in fact, Reverend Steve and I have been at some rallies in the Boston area, Open Up Massachusetts rallies.
Good for you. Thank you for doing that.
Reverend's been opening up in prayer in these gatherings, and the same narrative is that, they're all a bunch of white supremacists. Well, if Rev's a white supremacist, he's really fooled me because he has black skin. And what do you say, Rev? You've been black all your life, and I say you've been doing a pretty good job of it.
Yes, Brother Lloyd, you may not remember. You had lunch with me and my wife, Edith. I'm not sure if it was at a Jersey Tea Party rally with Brenda Rome's, but I remember your big hat, and I remember being
right,
you.
Right, yeah.
You got me now?
Okay.
Right. We had lunch together, and when Hal told me that he had a talk with you, I said, "Yeah, I know Lloyd." I says, "He's good. He's good people. We have to get together, brother." Yeah, I live up here now in the Boston area. We are working with Hal 24/7, 365, and really moving this thing forth. But let me add on exactly what's going on now. And I know you're familiar with this since the Tea Party really is inactive now, but we have to get these things resurrected. This is what's going on. Satan is using the communists to move forth a narrative when people talk about, well, what does Black Lives Matter want? What do people want? Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all of these subversive groups that has been taking root in America has one principle, and you hit on part of it, and that is to destroy the greatest nation on planet Earth other than Israel. Satan's plot is to destroy the United States of America by using what has always worked, the race.
Amen.
Now, what is... have to happen is simply this. We have got to start calling an ace, and a spade a spade. Socialism is the soft bridge to communism. And every I noticed it even today when I talked to the ministers in Jersey about this thing. They seem to go soft when you start using the C word, whether it's the C word conspiracy or whether it's the word communism. They kind of get reticent, and they want to back up. No.
I know.
It's time to back up. We've got to call this thing for what it is. It's a communist plot.
Yes, it is.
The free enterprise system, to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ, to destroy the president that God has set in the White House. And that's where we go. We've got to get beyond left, right, conservative, liberal, black, white, blue, red, Republican, Democrat. All of those terms are nothing but distractions, because they're not going, as John the Baptist said, we're not hitting the root of the tree, taking the spiritual axe to the root of the tree, which is communism, and exposing this thing, pulling this veneer of race. I was saying to Hal just today, he came over for Sunday dinner with us, and I was saying, I says, look at how this thing has rolled since the 60s. You're in our age group, so you remember. First it was Rodney King in the 60s. Then went to Trayvon Martin in 2014. Then it went to Michael Brown in Ferguson. Then it went to Eric Garner in New York City. And now George Floyd. They don't care nothing about none of them people. All those people, all they are symbols to keep the race card going, because we in the Patriots have never been able to say, you know what? We love God and we love country, and devil, we're not going to let you bring the United States of America down with this communist narrative that seems to work all the time, dividing the so-called haves from the have-nots, when it really is the doers versus the non-doers, those who are right versus those who are wrong. So that's how we got to get back to brother.
Wow.
Well, look, in your article, you mentioned your upbringing, that you lived in Baltimore in a high-rise apartment. So talk a little bit about that and your own background and your rise and how how things have gone for you since coming from that background.
Okay. When I was around 9 years old, I am the oldest of five kids. So I remember what my younger siblings do not. We were living in a leaky roof Baltimore ghetto, and when we got the call that they had built this brand new government high-rise building, and we had an apartment there. Like I said, I was around 9 years old. Everything in the building was brand spanking new. As a matter of fact, I remember our apartment, 6B. So we were on the sixth floor. And I would say within 6 months' time, that building became a huge rat and drug infested ghetto, and everybody around me said, like, everything was the white man's fault, and I said, well, how do we stop these mean white people from sneaking in our building at night and urinating in the stairwells and breaking the elevators? I knew everything wasn't the white man's fault. And something else I knew at 9 years old, I saw that some people had a ghetto mentality.
Right.
I remember, and I remember a woman and her daughter lived next to us. Their apartment was next to us, and they kept themselves and they kept their apartment immaculate. So they were happy to have a nice apartment, and they were taking care of their nice apartment. But 90% of the other residents, they had no ownership in that building.
Right.
And that just told me you can't just keep giving people stuff because it doesn't have value. Most of the things that people value, they work for. And I just saw that, and thank God that back in 1952, they finally broke the color barrier for my father to become a Baltimore City firefighter. And when my father became a firefighter, that gave my parents money to move out of the projects. I still remember this because when my father became a firefighter, they raised our rent. And my father said, $72 a month? These people are crazy. We're out of here. But I am sad to say that the majority of my family, they stayed in the projects. A couple of them became successful in life. One of them even became a doctor. But the majority of my relatives, they succumbed to all of the violence and drugs and that negative, evil, hopeless mindset.
Right.
And they died young. So I just saw that was not a good thing.
Right.
You know, it was interesting. Back in the, I think it was in the late 50s or early 60s, Jet Magazine, which is a black-owned publication.
Right. I remember Jet.
Had an article, and I can probably find it, you know, put my hands on it. But it mentioned the enormous progress that black Americans have made since 1865. You know, the number of homes they had, the number of appliances, the number of businesses, and the doctors
right.
and pastors and churches and on. And it said that they made more progress in that short amount of time, a little less than 100 years, than any people in the history of mankind. And they compared their wages and opportunities to people in Europe that had just, and it had just been devastated by World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if black America was all, like a separate country, that they would be ranked two or third around the world.
Wow.
And I know these people who are throwing bricks and crying systemic racism, they don't really have it all that bad. I mean, I grew up in Boston. I grew up in a – we lived in an apartment with rats. I thought they were kind of cool. I thought they were like pets. I didn't know they were bad as a little kid.
You
I
were feeding them, right?
Job, you know? And my whiteness didn't get me any. I went in the army, and my whiteness didn't make me a sergeant. I had to work for it. And there were black
Amen.
Guys that promoted around me, and I said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Because you don't shine your boots enough." Well, I'll start shining them, and I got my promotion. And that, you know, that's the way it should be.
And also, remember affirmative action. One of the things I love about my father being a firefighter was that my father, he did not ask for affirmative action. The only thing that my father asked for was a fair opportunity. He took the civil service test, and he became a Baltimore City firefighter. The white firefighters despised my father, and they humiliated him at every turn. He could not drink a cup of coffee from the same coffee pot as the white firefighters. My father, he had separate eating utensils than the white firefighters, and yet, despite all of the racism, my father won Firefighter of the Year two times. That's
wow.
what I'm talking about. That's black power. You know, and my father eventually won the respect of my father's fellow firefighters, and one particular guy who hated my father the most became lifelong friends. So people have a habit of working things out. We always have problems when government steps in and does all this mandatory stuff that never works.
Yeah, and see,
it's not, you know something, when I grew up in the height of forced busing in Boston, and my parents, I once, when as a little boy, I said that word that you're not, that ugly word that starts with an N, I didn't even know what it was. My mother, who never hit me, she slapped me so hard. You know, what did I say? But during the height of four, and my father had a small drugstore that was robbed, and it was almost all the white people robbing the store, by the way. He hired this young man from the housing projects, which at that time was predominantly a white housing project, a young black man who became an FBI agent. Nicest guy ever, you know, he's a role model for everybody. all the white kids in the project looked up to him. But
mm-hmm.
this mean old lady with her Scottish brogue that came here from, you know, from Scotland, not to say Scottish people are bad by nature, but she was mm-hmm. just going after my father, you know, hiring this guy, and why did you hire him? And my father was a very peaceful man, but I remember, I think I was 10 years old, he grabbed her by the arm and took her out the door and said, never come back in, you know?
Mm, that's said, great.
But during the height of forced busing, the government at the city level, the federal level, and state level had this mandatory, you gotta put so many black people over here in this school. And what they were saying basically is that you can't learn in your own neighborhood. You have to be with white people to get educated. To me, that's insulting.
Right.
That led to race riots. That led to, it was not as bad as it is now, but it was really, where you could go. I can remember we used to go fishing at Castle Island in South Boston, which is probably a white neighborhood.
mm-hmm.
And most of the guys fishing were blacks. They were my fishing buddies, you know.
Right, one of the guys
his fire water and say, you want some fire water? Yeah, sure. I'm 16 years old, you know. Yeah. Anyway, but then the riot started, and they would be afraid to come to South Boston to get robbed or beaten. And I remember meeting one of them at another place, another freshwater pond. I said, what happened to you? I don't see you over there at Castle Island. He says, man, he said, I got there. They threw rocks at me. And this guy wasn't responsible for the forced busing any more than
I was responsible for.
When I, there was another time an old black gentleman was waiting for a bus, and a group of whites they were about to beat him up. And I said, get in the van. It was a 66 Ford, 3 in the tree. He jumped in, and we got rocks thrown at me, and I was called nasty things. I
mm-hmm.
dropped him off at his house. In Mattapan, a few miles away, and I had black people throwing rocks at me. I said, man, I'm a man without a country.
But look, everything that we are talking about happened long ago. This is 2020. What in the world are we having riots for? And something else, too, I hate, like, all of this stuff about, like, everybody are trying to be really nice, and they are saying, oh, I have no problem with the peaceful protesters. I do. It's stupid. We don't need it. I mean, look, this was a bad cop. He murdered a black guy. The whole world saw it. The whole world condemned it, and we are pressing charges against the world. Why in the world are people protesting? There's nothing to protest about. I mean, and now, Black Lives Matter are actually making white people kneel and beg forgiveness for being born white. That's insane, and it is evil from the pits of hell. I mean, and we should not stand for it. It's so crazy, guys. It's so crazy.
Exactly. And see, you hit it, Lloyd, from the pits of hell. That's the root of all it is.
Amen.
I remember that you're from Baltimore. And if you remember, there was an incident in Baltimore a few years back. You remember the name Freddie Gray?
Oh, yeah.
Same narrative. I'm telling you, man, you got to get back out there, even if you have to buy a bus and start another school. No, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. And we'll work.
I know. Well, you know what? Hey, Rev, we were talking about having a you remember that old poster I showed you at the Civil Rights Seminar from the 60s with Bella Holmes and George Schuyler and a few others, Tony Brown?
Yeah.
I think we need to revive that, and we could do it right in Lexington.
Right.
Lloyd, we have a learning center where it's about two blocks away from the Battle Green where the shot heard around the world, where a black man, a slave by the name of Prince Esterbrooks, was a member of that Lexington militia, and he was one of the men that was wounded. And even though he was a slave, he knew that eventually he would get his freedom, and he got his freedom. And his blood was shed on that green for future generations, so they could look back and not think that slavery, it was a bad thing, but it's over now. It was people like him, and we need to revive that.
Right.
Amen.
I agree. Yeah, we'll love to have you come up. We got Barbara from Harlem and Dr. Felicia Nace and some others.
Get it together and let me know.
Okay, and you live in the Florida, right?
No, we recently moved to West Virginia. My father was 90, and Mary's mother was a senior, so we decided to move nearer to them. So we moved to West Virginia 2 years ago, and we absolutely love it here.
Well, you're near a lot closer than Florida, so that'd be great.
Yeah.
Where at in West Virginia, Lloyd? Charleston area?
No, we are living in a small town called Paw Paw, West Virginia.
Paw Paw!
Paw Paw! My daughter said, "How in the world did you find Paw Paw? Because that sounds so country." Well, huh? we found this adorable house over the internet, and the guy was selling it for a song, so it was perfect. It was a gift from God.
Uh-huh.
That's great. Well, we're heading down to Georgia later this month, and maybe I'd love to get a chance to meet you in person.
Yeah.
And
that would be great.
Of my girls goes to Liberty University, and we go through that a little bit of West Virginia on the way down, so I'm sure between the two of them we'll get a chance to meet.
That would be
in
great.
Person.
Yes.
Oh, well, gentlemen, we talk about the problem. What are the solutions? And I think we know the solutions. It's just keep on doing what we're doing. And do it more effectively. What would you say, Lloyd, to people who are saying, "Hey, this country's worth saving"? What do we do? Do we give in to the street thugs?
Oh my goodness, no!
That are giving in to them.
Oh my goodness, no! And something else too. We need to stop pandering. Somebody told me that Joel Osteen was wearing a mask and marching with Antifa. I guess that he may not know all of the political facts, but doesn't he know that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are hardcore against God and hardcore against Christianity? We need to stop pandering to these bad people and call this stuff out. And we need to ask the Lord to give us his courage and strength to stand. We need to become a nation of Daniels to say, no, we are not going to bow down to social justice. We're not going to bow to socialism. We're not going to bow to the LGBTQ agenda, and we're not going to bow to fake news media, Democrats, and communism. We're going to say no, and we're going to stand for what is right.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Lloyd, have you documented? Because I'm sitting here, and my eyes got to rolling when you said that Osteen, who has the largest church in America, linked hands with Black Lives Matter or Antifa? Is that
somebody told me a headline. I probably should not have said it because I have not confirmed it.
Okay.
We need to
confirm that if that's true. Because if that's true, brother, we're in deep doo-doo. And I'll tell you No, I'm serious. We're in deep trouble. If you have a so-called Christian minister who actually all he is a religious motivator with his little cute messages, but if he, with the largest church, and if he has bowed down to this madness, brother, let me tell you something. We need Daniels. We need Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. John the Baptist's. We need Elijah's that are going to take a stand and say, who is on the Lord's side? How long will you be caught up between two opinions? You know, because this mess, I heard you say that, I said, what? To myself. So if you can verify that, verify it. And Hallie, let's look into that because that's serious, bro.
Somebody sent me a link, so I will forward the link to our house.
Okay.
Excellent. Lloyd, we have a little less than a minute left. How can our millions of listeners, maybe exaggerate a little bit, all over the world
learn more about you?
They can come to LloydMarkets.com. LloydMarkets.com.
And you have a YouTube channel as well with a lot of your speeches and your beautiful singing.
Thank you. Thank you. But look, I would love to do another bus tour, and you are right. It's totally wrong. I don't mean it's totally wrong. I mean that it is totally time. And something else, too, what happened to social distancing? Remember, we could not go to church, or we were selfish scumbags, and now they're saying, everybody go out there and protest.
That's right. Hey, folks, the time is up. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff, and co-host, Reverend Stevie Kraft, and our guest, Lloyd Marcus. Until next week, may God richly bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, my brothers.
All right. God bless, man.
Bye-bye.